Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent to them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him.' And listening to the king, they went away, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by a different way." It's that time of year that some great jokes begin resurfacing on the internet and other places that talk about the wise men. And there's one that's continuing to make the digital rounds. And Francesca had this on a towel that she showed to us at Bible study on Zoom. It's about how we know that they were definitely wise men and not wise women. If they had been women, they would have asked for directions more locally, been there on time to help deliver the baby, and had cleaned up for Mary. They would have brought practical gifts like diapers, baby powder, and a casserole. But what do we know about these enigmatic figures? As one researches the wise men, the Magi, most of the things that we've been taught about them are not exactly true, or at least not gotten from this biblical narrative that we've read from the Gospel of Matthew, and this is the only place that we talk about them, which means a lot of what we talk about as facts or things we assume are facts might just be guesses or they come from tradition. But we really do not know many hard facts. Well, get ready to have all your assumptions about this group shattered as you watch this video. Well, that's a bit dramatic, but it's going to definitely be altered a bit. And if you don't want to know these things, you can stop the video and you can walk away right now. This is your spoiler alert. Are you still here? Then we will proceed. We always think of there being three, but probably not. One tradition had as many as 12, which is the best number in Hebrew. 12 tribes, 12 disciples. It's a number of completeness, so that was probably symbolic. But they assume there was three because there's mentions of three gifts, but there was probably more than just three to this group. Wise men? I think again, women were a part of this group. No matter where they were from, women were a part of this class, or what the word magi, wise person, kind of uses. So they would be wise people, or we could just call them the wise. We sing in the song, "We Three Kings." We say they were kings, but the word magi is given to a name, you know, is given by name in the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, and others, a lot of groups of wise people. The wise, you know, so it wasn't just necessarily kings. The wise people, teachers, priests, physicians, astrologers, seers, interpreters of dreams, agers, soothsayers, sorcerers. So this particular career based on this word is hard to nail down. So it wasn't necessary that they were kings. We assume that they were astrologists because they followed a star, but maybe they weren't. Maybe other astrologers had told them about this and they followed the star. They might have heard about the star and meaning the king of Israel would be born. There's a tradition that they're all from Persia, But the text only says that they were from east of Jerusalem, which is lots of places. No one's exactly sure. It could have been Babylon, Medina, or even India, or as far as China. They could even be Jewish kings from Yemen. We see them in the nativity sets, but they probably were not there. They came later. It was probably when Jesus was able to kind of toddle around. So now that I have systematically destroyed everything that we've held true about these group, everything about the Magi, I found some things that are definitely true. We call them wise, and they truly are. They were truly wise. But why do we call them that? Based on the text, they do a few things that are truly wise. First, they brought wise gifts. These Magi came a long way, and they brought treasures. Treasures that were truly worthy of a king. They knew, like we talked about on Christmas Eve, they knew how to celebrate the birth of a king. Yet the gifts that they give are meaningful. Wise gifts that point to the depth of Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, and not just a king like other kings, a special king. As Origen, the great early church father, stated in one of his epic writings, Contra Celsum, gold as to a king, myrrh as to one who was mortal, and incense as to a god. Each gift spoke to who Jesus was. Gold. It was proper and expected that if you would come into the presence of a king, you would bring gold. Gold was the king of all metals. In the book of Revelation, the New Jerusalem, the streets are made of pure gold. When Sheba came to meet the great King Solomon, she brought lots and lots of gold. This gift reinforces what they came to seek, that Jesus was the king of the Jews, but more than that, the king of the world. The second gift is myrrh. It's an ointment, a tree extract used for many different reasons. You can actually hop online, not right now, or you can pause and go online right now. And Amazon has myrrh essential oil for sale right now. Last time I checked, it was about $14. If you want to know what it smells like, you can feel free to order that. But the most prevalent use back then was to prepare the body for death, and for a funeral. It's a strong-smelling perfume. This is the exact perfume that Nicodemus brings to anoint Jesus' body in John 19. As Origen puts it, it's a reminder of the mortality of Jesus, or to the fact that he would someday die. Martin Luther describes this similarly with the cross beams of the stable where Jesus was born, making the shadow of the cross over the manger. And the last one, frankincense, which is Frankenstein-scented perfume. No, I'm just kidding. Also can be purchased, as we speak, on Amazon. But at that time, that was the incense that was used at the temple. This wise gift points to Jesus as the final and most important high priest, but also points to his divinity. Incense carried prayers up to heaven, gives a smell of otherworldly. This incense was a very important part of worship of Yahweh, of God. Hebrews 2:17 says, "For this reason, he had been made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make an atonement for the sins of the people." Jesus was King, Savior, God. King, High Priest, Divine. The Magi knew this and gave wise gifts to show they understood this King, who he was and who he was to be. So they brought wise gifts that made them wise. But another way that they were wise was because they listened to God. This may not have been their king in a worldly sense. They asked for the king of the Jews, but they were responding to a prophecy that the greatest king would be born when a bright star arises. They listened and headed out through the dangerous roads with a lot to lose, including their lives. They did all this while following a star. This is not easy. Growing up in the Boy Scouts, we did some celestial navigation using stars, and the hard thing is, when you follow stars, when you move, they move too. They were also wise because they listened to God and didn't trust Herod. Picture this, they show up to the capital of Israel and say, "We're here for the party, the king is born, hooray!" But there's no party, there's no excitement. Instead, people of Jerusalem were, and the word says, disturbed. The Magi tell the people that their Messiah has just been born in Bethlehem, and all they can do is get disturbed. Herod says, "Go find him and let me know so I can come and kill him." Worship him is what he says, but he really wants to get rid of this king. They kept listening to God and looking and found Jesus. And they listened as they left, not to return to Herod. They knew God showed them that Herod was not on the level. They were wise because they were listening to God in lots of different ways. And the last way that they were wise is because they had faith. See, they were wise because they didn't know exactly where they were going, but they knew which direction to head and what they were looking for. And that's so important in all of our lives. When my friend and I were heading to study in China a long, long time ago, we'd spent the night in Hong Kong. And for me, I'd never been to even New York City, you know, coming from Maine. So that my first experience was like this Asian New York City. It's huge. It's easy to get lost. My friend had been to this amazing dim sum restaurant. And last time he was there, and he said, I think I kind of know where it was. Reassuring, right? So here we are in this gigantic city looking for this restaurant. And he knew what the restaurant was, and he knew the general direction, which neighborhood it was in. And he kept kind of going off the main streets and kept saying, oh, this looks familiar. And this was getting to be about 20 minutes of this building looks familiar. And all the buildings looked really like kind of the same. So I was starting to get scared. And as the alley got more and more narrow, and we turned a corner, and there it was. There was this restaurant. And it's kind of one of the more famous old school dim sum restaurants in Hong Kong, where they bring it out on the cart and they stamp your card. And it's kind of really cool. My friend and I didn't know exactly where we were going, but we knew the direction and we knew what we were looking for. I had faith in my friend. The Magi had faith in God, that he would lead them to the king and he would get them home again. They had faith that where they were going to was worth it, was what they believed it would be. So brothers and sisters, how can we be wise people in this new year? To be wise, we too need to listen to God. The wise people understood what the proverb says in 1 Proverbs, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God wants to help guide us and teach us, but we need to listen. We see this with all the figures in the nativity story. God is telling by dreams and angels. He uses a star to help people to communicate. We need to strive to tune in, even asking God to speak through whatever means God wants to speak to us through. Let us not limit the ways that this infinitely big God can share things with us in this new year and share this knowledge of who God is. Another way that we can be wise in this new year is we can and should give wise gifts to God. Give God treasure, you better believe it, but not just money. Wise gifts have meaning. The meaning might be a sacrifice. So not just giving money to the church or other organizations, but giving up something in order to have that money to give. Or giving something you really believe in and has meaning for you. The Magi brought an important fourth gift that we don't focus in on enough. After they laid their treasures down before Mary and Joseph, they worshiped Jesus. This is the fourth gift, the worship of the King of Kings. These wise men from afar came not just to court favor, not just to get in good with this king who was going to be so important, but they believed him to be the King of Kings. The greatest gift that we can offer to Jesus is our praise and worship. What did they do when they found him? They were overjoyed. That's an understatement. The text, the way they translate it, they were overjoyed with exceeding joyfulness. There's no way to express more joy in Greek than the way that it's expressed here. And that joy led them to great worship. Face down, kissing the ground that this Jesus toddled on. Worship, like we talked about, is not just singing. Worship has everything to do with attitude. Worship is when our hearts line up with what our lips are saying. When we worship, it's like burning a sweet fragrance to God. Worship pleases God. God enjoys it. God wants it. God inhabits the praises of his people. God dwells in our praises. So let us be honest. Sometimes we can do this worship thing or the Sunday morning or all these different parts, but you know, we come into the very presence of God, yet we're not worshiping in this way, the way these wise people did. Whether it's intimidation or peer pressure or distractions, we tend to neglect giving this wise gift of worship. So this year, let us be wise people and worship through communion, through singing, through serving, through all the gifts of worship. Lastly, when we have faith, when we are wise people, we have faith. Just like the Magi, they had faith that would find the Christ child. We need that too. He is our goal in our life of faith. They set out going on what we should, you know, would consider to be absurd reasons. It was based on reading stars. They didn't know what they would find even when they did. The life of faith, if we're honest with each other, most of the time, we're not sure exactly where we're going, just like them. If we knew exactly where we're going, there'd be no faith involved. We can only really see what faith looks like when we look back and when we step forward. Jody Picoult says, if you want to see God laugh, make a plan. As long as we know the general direction, we know the general trajectory of our life, we know what we're looking for, who is our Lord and Savior. So what else do we really need? We need nothing else except for these things to live truly wise lives. I'm thankful for these magi. Even if I was taught as a child and through my life all these different things that were maybe not so true about them, that they're different than those kind of things, but I'm thankful for them because they were the first to offer gifts and demonstrate a life of faith in such a way that is both convicting and inspirational. So this new year, let's try to be wise people in the same ways that these magi were wise. Happy Epiphany and Happy New Year to you all.